Hey guys, welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast, the only show handcrafted for small business entrepreneurs looking to explode their business. It's time to get your mind right so you can get your grind right. Are you ready? Hey everybody, thank you for joining me on the Quick Talk Podcast. My name, as you know, is Joshua Latimer, and my job is very simple. It's to deliver you, the listener, relevant, straightforward, actionable business insights from some of the small business success stories from all over the world. Today, I'm joined by Steve Wright, coming from Florida. He was in the cleaning business years ago. He owns a software company, and he actually founded thecustomerfactor.com, which is the very CRM that my cleaning business in Michigan used for many, many years as we grew and scaled our operations. And I'm excited to talk to him because I want to get a little bit of his backstory. And he's kind of rode this whole technology wave. You know, business is changing and things are developing, and he's really participated in that. And I mean, his software is nothing to shake a stick at either. I mean, they have well over 1,000 paying members from all over the place in many different industries. So, Steve, thank you. You're a very busy person, and I appreciate you taking an hour to talk to me today.
Oh, you're very welcome there, Josh. I look forward to it.
Well, Steve, let's jump in the beginning to a little bit of your backstory. I mean, as a customer of your software, you know, before we've kind of got to know each other more, and, you know, I consider you a friend now. But in the beginning, you know, you were just a guy providing a service to my company. And one thing that was really interesting was the level of support you provided. You know, you're super responsive. You're very hands-on. You have a ton of users. I imagine, you know, you must have a team around you, but, you know, service is really important to you. And can you give us a little bit of your backstory on how you got involved in the cleaning business originally that kind of led you to this software business?
Yeah, it's funny how it turned out. I bought a mobile oil change business there, and one of my customers there asked me if I knew anyone who did windows. And I started thinking, you know, maybe window cleaning business would be a good business to be into. So that went to that. Owned a window cleaning business for a few years. I had some success, of course, in that. And then I sold a how-to program to teach other folks how to do it. And I just really, bottom line through all of this is I just needed some kind of an automated way to handle my own follow-ups.
Yeah, you know, I can relate to that too. I mean, actually, your window cleaning ebook, I've known about that for a long time because for several years I was selling one called Window Wealth, but you were way before me in any of that stuff, selling hundreds and hundreds of these things over the years. Did you just always have a fascination kind of in the web-based business idea? Was that kind of something that was just appealing to you?
I have to say no. I mean, I really don't. I don't think so at all. I just, again, I had some success, some pretty good success here in the window cleaning business itself. I figured, well, the natural thing to do would be to try and teach it to other folks. So that's how I came up with the ebook. But I was as green as could be. I didn't know anything about anything as far as the internet goes, you know.
Yeah. So how many years did you operate your window cleaning business before you really started to transition to your next project?
5 years.
5 years. Okay. All right. And was it more of an owner operator or did you have a small team?
I had a small team, 15 subcontractors working for me out there doing jobs. A typical team, 2 to 3 people per team. But yeah, I mean, and it was fun. And I grew it up, you know, started after 6 months myself and just grew it up. And that was it. Sold it in 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you scaled pretty fast. I mean, 15 team members is not something that a lot of guys can accomplish very easily in this business. But okay, so that fast forwards us a little bit. And that gets us to the customer factor. So did you have a background in systems or automation? I mean, how did you know that you were supposed to follow up with people? How did you know of your own need to have a CRM type system? You know, what's your mentality behind that? And how did you get to the place of actually founding the customer factor?
Well, I just knew that follow-up was important. I mean, I don't know if you need to be a genius to know that. You just need to follow up with your customers, and that's key. They're not going to call you all the time, right? So what I was doing is I was going through index cards every month, every, you know, week or whatever, just kind of looking for people to follow up with, and that's where I came upon the idea, I've got to automate this process.
Yeah, well, I'm big on automation. I mean, that's all I talk about in this show.
Yeah.
But it's a process. It's step by step, and obviously there wasn't a tool out there that really you thought would be a good fit for that? Was it, what was the issue with, you know, current tools that were available at the time? Was it because they weren't tailored to a service business?
Exactly. I mean, that, I couldn't find one anyway. I used QuickBooks, which is great in what it does, accounting, invoicing, maybe keeping a database, things like that. But it didn't do any follow-up at all. So I was left to my index card. So I needed to automate the process. I envisioned something where I could log in, click a link, send a broadcast email, or make the calls right there on one screen. So
I call it a central repository. And in my business boot camp, I have a whole section about kind of customer relationship management. And most small guys, they start out and it starts with a pen and paper or index cards, right? And then they kind of evolve into maybe a spreadsheet. You know, that I remember I went to like a Google Doc, and there's a lot of guys out there. In fact, I know some people doing, you know, close to a couple hundred thousand in revenue that use a spreadsheet to keep all their customers in it. And so I have this disconnect where I'm like, you know, what don't these people understand? Why would they do this? But I think there's some confusion either on maybe what a CRM's capable of or specifically what it's for. I don't think a lot of guys understand, you know, all about CRM. So, if, you know, I really want to focus on breaking down some of the elements of a CRM today, because, you know, it's not just the follow-up, it's the central repository. It's where I kept the note for Mrs. Jones that I needed to lock her back gate, you know, so her dog didn't get out. It's, and those things are so critical. And it, so tell us, I mean, CRM, it's not just follow-up. What can it do for the small business guy? What are the benefits to someone to move into a system like yours?
Well, it keeps the person's name in front of the customer. I mean, if you can, you know, do a broadcast email about any topic, newsletter, whatever it might be, you know, you send one out four or five times a year, it'll generate interest, revenue, all that sort of stuff, keep just by keeping your name in front of your customers. So that's key right there. So the follow-up is fine. It's definitely needed for sure. But the fact that you can stay in front of your customers all the time is just as important, I think.
Yeah, and just being organized. I mean, for scheduling, for example, you know, most conflict arrives from unmet expectations. And that's like us with our wives, it's us with our kids, it's us with our employees, and it's us with our customers. So Mrs. Jones already told you to shut the back gate when you do her windows, right? And then you fast forward a year later, and you don't remember that, right? If you don't have a system, if you don't have a methodology to document those types of things, for me, that was the hugest thing, was just not dropping the ball on the little details for people and remembering the pricing and remembering the, and CRM, you know, is your repository for all that stuff. And it's also just good for, you know, managing your employees and your staff better. I mean, tell us a little bit about the scheduling stuff, because you guys have a lot of features where you can color code on the calendar. You know, it's visually laid out, but you can color code it by crew and you can do some things like that.
Well, you know, like you mentioned, you can color code appointments. You can create different types of appointments. So you can view everything by type. You can display different information with the appointment, you know, appointment time, name, address, different things like that. But you can also do a lot from the calendar screen. So one of my recommendations is to go to the daily calendar the night before or the morning of the jobs there and do it all. You can map your appointments. You can create all your invoices. You can print your daily route sheet, whatever you want to do, you know, all right from the calendar screen. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And two of the things I use, just as a quick tip for anybody listening, was I would make the calendar display the last name of the customer and the city that they were in. And the reason we did that was because when we're building out, you know, our spring database of appointments and we're scheduling people, it makes it really easy to lump, you know, appointments together by city. And so it was a quick way to look and see, okay, I got, you know, all these blue appointments are for this crew. And, you know, my company now runs close to, well, I sold it, but it runs, they're running about 10 crews. And so it can get really confusing really fast if you don't stay organized. They're doing, you know, hundreds of jobs per week sometimes. So anyway, so what we would do is the calendar guy, you know, the phone's ringing like crazy. He gets someone that calls in from Grand Blanc, that's a city here, and he's not going to drop it next to an appointment that's an hour away from there. So without, you know, spending 15 minutes digging through, he can just visually, you know, find the Grand Blanc day, and there's going to be two or three other Grand Blancs assigned to a crew and plop it right in there. Another thing we did was I'm huge on revenue tracking, so that was one of the key, you know, performance indicators for us. So you have a button where you can display the daily revenue per crew on the calendar. So it was another way to just briefly just glance and say, okay, this guy needs more revenue on his plate and this crew is, you know, maxed out and this crew needs a little more and whatever. And being able to see it is so awesome, especially because I was the guy with the Google spreadsheet. And it's like I would chop off my arm to have a CRM if I had to now. And it's not expensive at all to have these tools.
No. No, it really isn't. No, I agree. I agree 100%. And I'll tell you, not to get off the subject or whatnot, but you're talking about expensive or expense or whatnot. We recently introduced a tip feature where the customer, you know, if the user accepts credit cards through our program, right, and the customer makes payment themselves, they can pay a tip. So that actually is turning out to be a beautiful thing for our users because they're actually, you know, paying for the customer factor at the very minimum with the tips that they're getting from the customers making those tip payments on our secure payment website. So it's kind of cool.
That's really cool. In fact, one of the hard parts about even doing this interview is because there's really a million things that it does. And, you know, I'm trying to distill down kind of some of the basic points, but, you know, it compartmentalizes your prospects away from your customers. It gives you deep reporting features. You know, in the spring, we would pull dynamic lists of all the customers who were serviced, you know, the last April of the last year. And you can export that list to a CSV and you give it to your call team and they make phone calls. You can pull lists of people who haven't been serviced in at least 2 years. You can pull lists of people whose window cleaning jobs are between $300 and $500 range and just have those people and then send a mailer just to them or an email just to them. So you can get really creative and clever once it's set up. But I mean, there is a little bit of a learning curve in the beginning. How hard is it to get set up from scratch for people? And how long does it take to really get a groove with it typically for someone, Steve?
I'd say a good week or so, really. I mean, it isn't that difficult. I always try and put myself in a new user's shoes, you know, for logging in for the first time. And if you look at the navigation tabs, pretty easy to understand. Not a lot of techno speak. You know, you've got calendars, you've got customers, prospects, not a lot of stuff to wade through. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think about a week and somebody would be in their groove.
Now, hey guys, you've heard me talk about my small business bootcamp, which is located at automategrowsell.com. And hey, here's the deal. We just had our first 50 students begin the initial launch of the bootcamp, and the feedback is unbelievable. We're talking life-changing for a lot of these guys. If you are looking for a way to automate, grow, and build a business that could be sold, this is what you need. It's step-by-step, over 50 videos, all shot in Costa Rica, dedicated specifically to helping get you across the finish line. For more information, just give it a quick peek. Go look at some of the video testimonials. Just visit automategrowsell.com right now. What is one of the biggest mistakes you think people make when they use the customer factor? Do you notice? I mean, you have 1,200-1,300 people in there. That's a lot of people. Not everybody's going to be utilizing it to its full extent, right? So is there any kind of trends or anything you notice where maybe you could give them a piece of advice to get more value out of it?
Well, two things I see sometimes when I log into a user's account is I see, you know, we provide 4 sample general customer emails that they can use and revise and all that sort of thing, or they can create their own email templates. So when I log into their account, I may only see just those 4 templates there. They don't create their own. I'm not saying everybody by any means, but, you know, sometimes when I do log into a user account, I'll see this, that they don't use any emailing functionality at all. So if they don't have email addresses, they need to capture the email addresses from the customer and just use that broadcast email feature and then use our email automation feature. You know, use our thank you automation and, you know, appointment reminder automation. Just get those emails out there.
Yeah, anything that can be automated is worth looking at, guys. And if you can build a process for your business that serves your customer in any way and you don't have to touch it, you need to, you know, hit pause and take a look at that because it's powerful. And most people don't do any follow-up. And my Send Gym company, it's all about follow-up. You know, that's the whole deal with that. It sends postcards and emails. But, you know, most people don't do any follow-up. It's crazy. And I did this webinar a few months back with Chris Lambertini's. And one of the things we talked about was that typical small businesses you know, they hit a ceiling with their growth. They go flat. They can't get out of the rut. And a lot of times it's because they're very transactional minded rather than being what I call relational minded. And they focus only on, you know, I need another job. I got to get a customer this week. And they'll get one and they do it. And then they say, oh God, oh, I need another customer. I got to get more. And really a better way to look at it is to play the long game and to look at the lifetime value of the customer. And what the customer factor always did for us was it helped us manage the relationship lifetime, because there's only three ways to get money. You either get new customers, or you get more money from your current customers, or you do both, right? And so relationship marketing, whether it's sending thank you notes, if you can automate that, it's super powerful. You're going to get more referrals. And you're going to build your business without spending any money at all, right?
Exactly right. Yeah, I was going to talk specifically about the thank you automation. I mean, just a simple little thing like that, automatically set it up. 2 days after the job is done, they get an email automatically. In that email, you include like a review link where they can leave a review for your service or whatnot. And then other folks, of course, they try and find, you know, their service that you're providing. They see your reviews and boom, they use your service. So it all works out. It all goes around. You know what I mean? But it all starts with that thank you, that automation part.
Yeah, and to create automation, guys, you have to first create space for yourself to think. And being a little owner operator, sometimes it feels like we're firefighters out there and we're running from issue to issue to problem to estimate to callback to job to, you know, we're the HR guy, we're the phone answerer, we're the estimate giver, we're the technician, we're the everybody. We're changing our own brake pads. And you have to stop. Step back and breathe. You have to have space to look at your business from the top down, guys. You got to be able to strategize and think and, you know, spend time investigating different technologies or systems. And even if you don't use the customer factor, how are you following up with your customers? How are you staying top of mind? Because customers have the memory of a goldfish. And even though you're really cool, even though they like you, you know, they have their own life to worry about 5 seconds after you walk out the door. So, you know, I'm an advocate of that. Every episode of my entire podcast, we talk about the power of automation. No doubt about it there. Let's move over to kind of more personal stuff with you. I mean, you started your window cleaning business. You scaled it to 15 guys. You moved into the software business. It seems like whatever you're touching is working. But you've had to have some blunders. You've had to have screwed up. I mean, No matter what, all of us have struggles. When you look back at your business, just on a personal level, you know, what's one of the biggest mistakes you've ever made?
Biggest mistakes in the software or just over? Because, I mean, I've made mistakes, of course, with certain businesses. I can't think of too many mistakes I've made, you know, in the window cleaning business kind of thing. I think from there it started to kind of, I started to find my groove and everything just went along pretty smooth, with a few hiccups along the way. But prior to that, now I had a mobile oil change business and that was a disaster.
Yeah. So tell us about that. I mean, we want to hear about the disaster because a lot of the guys listen to this. For me, it was very encouraging to know that someone who has attained a level of success that I wasn't at yet, it was hard for them too. And they had trips and stumbles along the way too. And it's just normal part for all of us in our growth. So I think there's value in that.
Well, I just figured that, you know, I mean, I don't know, I saw the opportunity. I figured it makes sense. Everyone needs an oil change, you know. I mean, so from that point of view, there was great. But the expenses were ginormous. I had to build a storage area at my home to keep a big oil tank. The expenses were incredible every single month after month. So anyway, plus I'm not really a grease monkey kind of guy. So for some reason, I thought I could change oil without getting greasy, I guess. But anyway,
you just started a business that was a bad fit for your personality type, and maybe you didn't fully understand all the cost structures involved going into it.
I didn't, and I thought I could make the investment and maybe have other folks do the oil changes and things like that. So, you know, it just didn't work out. But again, the good thing is that I think I might have mentioned this previously, is that one of my oil change customers asked me if I knew who cleaned windows. So boom, the transition was perfect. You know what I mean? Yeah. So who knows? Maybe without the oil change business, I never would have been a window cleaner. Never would have owned software. You never know.
Yeah, well, there's opportunity all around us. We just got to open our eyes and see it. And, you know, my dad told me when I was 18, he said, you know, why do you want to be an entrepreneur? I don't understand. You know, I come from a blue collar family. And he said, you know, 9 out of 10 small businesses fail. And I said, well, I want to get my first nine done as fast as I can in that case.
That's great.
Are you a big reader, Steve? I mean, I try to share good quotes sometimes on this podcast. One of my favorite quotes is, everybody sees the wine, but no one sees the crushing of the grapes. And, you know, the crushing of the grapes is the early years of your business when you're grinding and building and you have four customers and then your software, it gets to 12 customers and then you get to and it's hard work and it's just unbelievably front-end loaded with difficulty. And then it finally starts to really kick for you. And that's kind of the wine.
But, you know, going back to what you talked about there, the crushing of the grapes. Yeah, I mean, the first up until 2007, 2008, the first 4 years, I would say, were, touch and go. Not a whole lot of functionality, not a lot of features, not a lot of users at that point. So, yeah, but again, back to the quote, I really don't have a favorite quote, no.
Okay. Do you read any business books, anything like that?
I do. I do a lot of reading, but I don't really, I don't do a lot of business books. I used to, you know, the E-Myth seminars and all the, you know, the motivational type books and things like that. Now it's more fiction. I like to kind of let my mind go at the end of the day, you know?
Gotcha. Okay.
But I do sleep with a notepad by my desk, by my nightstand there. So many times I'll wake up in the middle of the night with an idea for the software, but yeah, that's about it.
Tell me a little bit about your team. I mean, you don't write code yourself from what I understand. So what does that look like for you today? And, you know, how did you assemble the pieces, you know, going from a non-technical background to owning a software company?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate there. Back in 2005 there, I hired a development team that has been with me since then. I mean, they've been with me all this time. So we kid, you know, that they probably know the software better than I do. But I tell you, without them, I really couldn't do what I do. There's no question. And I hired another development team there, and they've been with me now for 6 years. So things are going along really well as far as the team goes, you know. So, yeah.
Are you looking for a simple way to get more sales, more referrals, and strengthen your customer loyalty? Look no further than SendJim.com. It was handcrafted for you as a powerful tool that will automate your follow-ups after the sale. Imagine being able to stay in contact with your customers all year long by pushing a single button on your smartphone. This is a space-age warp speed technology, and it will eliminate the chaos inside your business caused by trying to properly follow up with all of your leads and customers. Sign up for a free trial with no credit card required at sendjim.com right now. What are you waiting for?
Okay. All right. Well, is there any other new updates or anything going on with the customer factor that maybe you want to let people know about? Anything coming down the pipe that you can think of that maybe is a teaser or any kind of feature enhancements that are new?
Text messaging has been completed by my development team. We're testing it now. It should be ready to go shortly.
Well, that's huge. I mean, everything's on the mobile device now, too. So,
without a doubt,
we have another guy I interviewed who is talking about, you know, getting your website mobile friendly and all that because you get punished by the search engines. But really, in more than that, to speak to that even more, people just are on their device constantly. So text and email, like even with the email, people are checking your emails on their phone almost always. Yeah. They're not sitting on their computer. They see it in their phone. So the subject line matters. You know, a quick follow-up note, super important. But with text message, that could be massive for people in their marketing efforts.
And if you could automate it, you know, just an automated text message appointment reminder or even a thank you. You know, the same thing with the email that we've got. We're going to automate this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds exciting. And just so the listeners know, too, SendJim has a very exciting integration coming out for the customer factor. And by the time this podcast is released, it will be ready. And the way that it's going to work, and you know, Steve already knows this, of course, but it's an extension for Google Chrome. So anybody that uses the customer factor and is browsing, you know, that website in Chrome, they can click a tiny little button and they can log into their SendJim account, right? So then when you're inside of a customer's profile, like I type in Mrs. Smith, for example, when I'm in her account, I just click this little extension button, and I can send a postcard, an email, or an entire sequence of things when one click of your mouse, one click, send it, boom, the pop-up window disappears, and it's going to send, you know, a physical postcard, you know, right now saying thank you, and then an appointment reminder in 6 months, or it can send, you know, a card once a month for a year to your prospects, whatever the case is, all of that can be handled just by going click, click, right inside the system you're already using. It's going to be absolutely amazing. I'm super excited about that.
I love that. I love it. That's great. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Well, Steve, I mean, thank you for sharing us a little bit with us about your background and the customer factor and how that came about. I'm a fan. I have been for a long time, and I just appreciate you taking the time today.
You're very welcome there, Josh. I just wanted to say one other quick thing, because you were talking about some possible new stuff coming down the pike.
Sure.
Of course, we're working very hard on our Android and iOS app. So by the time your listeners listen to this, we'll have our Android app on Google Play. The iOS app is already on the Apple Store. So I just thought I'd mention that. There's a lot of mobile functionality, too, that are in the apps. So folks can take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I think that's great that you're doing that, because even on the crew side, internally, everybody's got smartphones. All the employees have smartphones. For them to be able to manage their day on a native app is so much easier than having to log into a website. So that's great. I mean, things are changing quick, guys. If you are not organized with a CRM, get one. If you are doing it with pens and paper, go ahead and at least get to the Google spreadsheet. You know, progress, not perfection, everybody. But Steve's a good guy. He has integrity. He stands behind his product. He provides awesome support. Steve, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Josh. I appreciate it, okay?
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.